We are in the beginning of a shayla. We have to plan a date for the siyum. Okay, so I think this Friday may be too early. Maybe next Friday. Okay, when Dr. Friedman comes, he has to.
Find out some people may be on vacation.
Okay, well, we'll figure it out. Fine, it doesn't matter. There's no rush. We have to figure out. We'll do it on a Friday. Yer Tzashem. Anyone has an idea for a guest speaker? Let me know. Okay, let's begin. So we are in the middle of Perek Aleph. We are middle of, let's see, we're a good place to continue from. Pasuk Hey. Let's review Pasuk Hey. Hoshea, page 10. Okay, Hoshea, page 10. Okay, it's going to be on that day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Nevuah that Hashem is giving over to Hoshea. Hashem says to Hoshea that I'm going to avenge the blood of the murder, going back according to Rashi, the simple interpretation of Rashi, and the Mitzudos, the murder of Achav, by the family of Yehu. And this will come forth on that day. Okay, that day refers to towards the very end of the Golos. We're pretty much alluding to, we'll see it inside in the Mefarshim, the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. And that would mean, it's very interesting, that would mean that the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, at least according to this particular Nevuah, there are many dimensions to the cause of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim, is in revenge, is in punishment for the murder of one of the biggest troublemakers of the leaders of the Malchei Yisrael, namely Achav. Okay, let's see the pasuk and saw one more time again. We'll review some of the ideas. Pasuk Hey, v'hoyam I'm going to be on that day. V'shavatim going to bring us Keshes Yisrael. Keshes, we learned last week, means the strength. Keshes literally means the bow, a bow and arrow, and here it's used in reference to a metaphor for the chozek, for the power of Yisrael, referring specifically to the Malchus of Yisrael, the Emek in the valley of Yisrael. Let's review this. We really did this, so here, there's not much rash. Let's review. I want to point out a few more things. Let's review what it says the very first in the Mitzudos David, just to get back into the swing of things very quickly. Pasuk Hey, it's on page 11 on the bottom. On the day of Gimul, the day of reckoning, Eshvar, I will break as Keshes Yisrael, written Loimar Atish Koyach Yisrael, I will weaken, I will break the power of the Jewish people, Be'emek Yisrael, who Mikoy Miftzar. This is a location. It is a fortress, Moshav Malchei Ephraim, where the kings of Ephraim would establish themselves. I guess Shoimroin, I am assuming this is not the same place as Shoimroin. Shoimroin became the capital of the Malchus of Yisrael. That was parallel to Yerushalayim. And Shoimroin was not originally, no, Samaria today is viewed as a region. Today, that this was, there was a city called Shoimroin. Today, Samaria is a whole region. But this, there was a city. Do we even know where the city is today? It's where it is. Okay, so there's a city called Shoimon, and by the way, that was not the capital. That only became the capital at a later point in time. That was not the original seat of Malchus when the Malchus first began. It only became a later point in time. It became the capital. But here it says, this is not what we're referring to. It's not Shoimon. You would think that if Hashem is going to bring Korban, it would say Hashem bring Korban to Shoimon. Just like every so often, the way we define the Korban of the Malchus of Yehuda is the Churban of Yerushalayim. Okay? The whole Chazal is filled with the Yerushalayim. The Beis HaMidrash was destroyed, and part of the Churban Beis HaMidrash was the Churban of Yerushalayim. Shiva Asim Atamus, the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. Yet, you don't really find that all that often that the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim is associated with the Churban of Shoimroin. We don't really find that. We find that there's a Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim. It's not necessarily connected to the capital. It could be also because where did they, by Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim. The Aseres HaShvatim, their religious service was not in Shomrayim. It was in Beis El and Don, two different locations throughout Eretz Yisrael. So there was a division between their religious service, which we know was problematic. Mitzad Echad, who are they worshipping? It's not so clear. At some points in time, it appears they're worshipping Hashem. It was a corrupt form of a Beis HaMikdash. You're worshipping Hashem, Shkut Echutz. I mean, they're doing things over here that are totally Shlok Halacha. And of course, later, they made it into outright idolatry. They're worshipping idols. But it was not located in the capital. And here we have the place where the Churban is going to be described is the Churban of the Aseres HaShvatim will be expressed by Hashem through a Churban that will take place in this place called Yisrael, which is not Shomrayim, not Beis El, not Don, where the Eglei Hazav were established. That is a very interesting idea, where there's spread out thin. Now let's see, Rashi, there's only one little Rashi, Be'emek Yisrael, Bizrias Goyla, Amuka Ushefala. Rashi is going back to what he said in the previous post, that this is more symbolic. The word Yisrael, in addition to what the Mitzudos taught us, is a location, was also a metaphor that Hashem will scatter the Jewish people throughout the world. Just like there's a malacha called Zoreya. Zoreya is seeding. When you take seed and you scatter the seed over the land, over the field, in order for it to take root, to sow the field. Zoreya, when you plant, you scatter. So the word Yisrael here is used in reference to the golus of Klal Yisrael. They will be scattered throughout the entire world. There is a hidden blessing in disguise. It's called Yisrael, and it's not called Pizur, because Yisrael, when you scatter in the form of planting, it takes root. It's not destroyed. It does not decay and disappear. Zeria, you scatter the seed. But what happens to the seed? It takes root, it grows, it develops, and you have something to show for your labor. So when Klal Yisrael was scattered, was dispersed into the entire world, they didn't disappear. It was like planting seeds. They grew, they developed, they became communities of Jewish people throughout the world, which will ultimately return to Eretz Yisrael. So this is Rashi. Rashi says, an Eimek, he takes this is really a drush. It's holier in brackets. The fact that it's in brackets may indicate that it's not necessarily from Rashi. We had this many times before in Treyos or Navi. The Rashi's, there's a lot of question marks surrounding the accuracy of Rashi. Did Rashi actually write this, or was this injected by an editor? This is a little bit of a deep drush. Rashi does not always, you know, depends. Sometimes Rashi is very midrashic, very, very homiletic. But here it's Bizrias Goyla Amuko Ushefola. Emek is a valley. Yisrael is the name of a place. He takes two words together and he makes a drasha. Emek is a very deep, Yisrael is Zuria, Golus, not just any Golus, a Golus that's deep, Ushefola, and is low, meaning a very heavyweight form of exile. Very, very appropriate in Yad Yoma, this week's Parsha Shemos. And this week is the parsha where the Torah begins to describe in very great detail the Churban. Now, there's one thing I left out. I forgot to mention. It's very important. It's a beautiful girl we have now over here at our disposal. This fantastic edition, and we have here a lot of mafarshim that we never able to really have access to, at least not in front of us. Mila b'mila, and there is a gra I want to share with you, which really hits the nail on the head. Let me see where I marked it off. One second. Here it is. Okay. It's on page 8. If you can just turn back to page 8. Okay, on page 8, this is very important, you said, because we're going to be learning a lot about, in all of the Treyasar, a lot about the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. And this we learn Yeshayahu, so we went through this in great depth, great. This is very, very fundamental, and this comes up every so often. Here we have the words, and it's very worthy to focus here on the words and how the Gra explains it, because we'll come back to this many times in Yirtzeh Hashem. So it's on page 8 in the Biurei Hagra, Pasik Gimel. He here is coming to explain the significance of the three children which are born to Hoshea, two boys and one girl. We learned last week the Malbim. The Malbim said that the first child is a reference to Yeravam ben Nevat. The second child, then there's a boy, a girl and a boy. Those refer to all of the other kings. Some kings were weak and only lived a short amount of time. They are captured in the daughter, because a woman, their chlal, nashim, are weak, physically weak relative to men. So the kings of the Malchus of Yisrael that were weak and short-lived are captured in the metaphor of the Bas. And the other kings that were strong, powerful, and lived long, they are captured in the metaphor of the third child, the son. But the first child is a metaphor for Yeravam ben Nevat. And Yeravam ben Nevat, it says the word lo, vatahar lo, and as the Malbim said, because he was the only king that was sanctioned by the Navi, Achia Hashiloni gave legitimacy to Yeravam ben Nevat. Because it's a very shocking thing, how could it be that the Malchus, you can break off? How can you go and just establish your own Malchus? There's a Malchus based David. How could it be that just because you're upset that you're paying too much, your taxes are too high, you're going to form your own Malchus? So Enoch Inami, it was sanctioned by Achia Hashiloni, and he gave him the power. He gave him the power to be a king, but no one else. This is not, so that was not the Malchus. That was Rabbi Shmuel. I'm sorry, we learned last week. Rabbi Shmuel Al Mosnino. If you look back on top, it's very just good to review some of these very important principles. Pasuk Gimel on top. Even though this woman who Yoshe is marrying was a zona, the first child refers to Yeravam. It's a marshal for Yeravam ben Nevat. Shehekimai lemelech achia hashiloni bidvar Hashem. Okay, it was sanctioned. Ve'ulam beledes haben v'habas, with regard to the next son and daughter. Shesibur achakach lo amar elavat helid bas. That helid ben does not say the word lo. Kilo, thank you very much. Thank you. Kiloi, why? Kilo hayu molchim b'mamar Hashem yisparach. They did not come to power. What? I'm reading now Rabbi Shmuel Almosnino. I'm reviewing what we learned last week, because I want to contrast this parish with the Gra. And this is very fundamental. It's very kedai to dwell upon this, to understand what is Ashe all about. Ashe is one of the most popular of the Treyasa. So in order to understand, so he says you have three children. The first child refers to Yeravam ben Nevat, the first king of the Malchus of Yisrael, and the second and third child refer to all the other kings, and those are divided into groups, the powerful and the weak. The powerful are captured in the son, the weak are captured in the daughter. And those two, it does not say the word lo. It only says the word vateled lo in regard to the first child, because only the first child, referring to Yeravam ben Nevat, was sanctioned by the Navi. And we discussed this last week. Does that then mean to say is that the Malchus is really only meant to last one generation? It was only meant to go for one generation, and it was illegal for them to continue the Malchus past the first generation. But we said last time, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Once they became the kings, they did not want to give up their authority. The Malchus remained in their power. But look what the Gra says. The Gra has a different approach. In Pasuk Gimel, Vatarvat Hilbain, Hine Shloisha Hayladim, Ramaz Bohem, Lishloisha Goluyois Sancheriv. The three children refer to the three stages of exile of the Aseres HaShvatim through Sancheriv. Golus Harishain Heikal, this is a core pasuk, was light. Who went into Golus first? Arza Zivulun, the Arza Naphtali. Okay, the first stage was lightweight, which we explained to me there was no violence. Sancheriv came and he said to them, I'm not giving you a choice, you're coming with me, we're going to Ashur. We're going to Ashur. I have here outside for you buses, I have food, I am going to send you first class El Al to Ashur. That was the first wave of exiles. No violence, it was lightweight. V'acharon, Acharon here means, it means It means the second. It doesn't mean the last. In this context, Achron in the Pasuk means the second wave of exiles. Hichbit. It was heavy. It was with a heavy hand. He didn't put them in El Al first class. He made them march naked. And he killed them. If you don't want to go, execution immediately. It was a gruesome exile for the second wave. What? Brutal. A brutal exile for the second wave of Goylem. Derech, who were the people who went into exile the second time? It was those who lived along the Mediterranean. Derech Hayam, Derech Hayam, Eiver Hayardein, Galil HaGoyim. Now that refers to two different groups. Derech Hayam means those who live along the Mediterranean. Eiver Hayardein means Ruvain and God, and Chas Yishevet Menashe, the two tribes in Eiver Hayardein, and Galil HaGoyim. I'm not sure who, I don't remember. Galil HaGoyim means there are other Shvatim, I don't remember. And then the third wave was Uvashlishi, that was the worst. The third wave of the Aseres HaShvatim was Higla Eskulam, everyone else. Everyone that was not included in the first wave and the second wave, they were taken in the third wave. These are it was a three-step process. And we learned that this paralleled the three-step galus of the Aseres HaShvatim, paralleled the three-step galus of the Malchus of Yehuda. How did the Churban Beis HaMikdash come about? There were three stages. First, it was the galus I forgot what his name. Before Yechaniah. Yehoyakim. The galus that took place during the time of Yehoyakim, after Yoshiyahu died, after he was killed, who became the Melech? Yehoyakim. And Yehoyakim, in his lifetime, there was God, Nebuchadnezzar came, and he said, I'm the boss, everyone can stay put, but I want to show that I'm the boss, I'm taking down to Bavel, I'm taking down a group of people. Who was included in this group of people? Doniel, Chagai, Zechariah, and also Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were included in the first wave of Golos. Then came the second Golos, Yechaniah, HaChodosh VeHamasker. And who was included in that? Yirmiah, I believe, was included in the second wave of Golos. And who is the third wave of Golos? Tzidkiyahu, the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it's very interesting. The Mefarshim point this out is that Zeh Le'uma Zeh. There are very large parallels. There was a foreshadowing. What happened at the time of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim foreshadowed what would happen to the people of Yehuda and Binyamin if they would not get with the program. There were three waves of exile. It started out light. It got worse and worse. So too in Yerushalayim. Also three waves, Yehoyakim, Yehoyachin, and Tzidkiyahu. Here, he's learning over here. Now let's go further in the Gra. Hine neged Golos HaRishon Asher Hekal. Now he makes the parallel. The first call that was light, Omar, it says, Khan al Bein HaRishon, Vishavarti es Keshes Yisrael. Return to Loimar, Shenishbar Me'at Koicham Levad. See how he learns? He learns that Keshes, most of the commentators learn Keshes means very severe. It's the worst. What?
The power symbol,
and the power will be completely obliterated. That's not how the Gra learns. The Gra learns it's lightweight relative to what's coming. Keshes, he says, is shenishva ma'at koicham levat. Just a little bit. They took away their bows, but they had other weapons. V'kneged golus hasheni, shebeve hayardein, omar kan, that's b'leide hasheniya, v'ateled bas, loy ruchoma. I will show no compassion. Her name was called Loi Ruchama. That signifies a much more severe form of exile. Vine ki eva hayadin hi bas. Why now we understand the Gra says we understand why the second child is a daughter, not a son. It's symbolic because the Jews living in Eva Hayardin, relative to the Jews living in the land itself, are secondary. It's not the main part of the land. It was not meant to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Or Ruvain and God, Chasei Shevet Menashe, took this land because they did not want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore we compare this wave of exiles to a bas, not to a bain. and then he bas neged Eretz Yisrael, which is dechura. Dechura means a male. We're calling those Eirayanim called a female, and those in Eretz Yisrael called a male. Uvashlishi goles kulam. Amar b'bein Ashlishi lo ami. That's really bad. It's one thing to be part of Hashem's nation, but Hashem, I'm not going to have rachmanis for you. But to be called lo ami, shagolu hamoinam usha'oinam. Everyone now went to Golis, the multitudes, and the Ushainim also means another word, which means the multitudes, it means the numbers, the people, everyone now went into Golis. So this really is important. I really feel that these two Yesoides here, these two different commentators, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi the Gra, really give us some flavor into understanding what is taking place over here and what is the symbolism of Hoshea having three children. It's either, like the Gra says, referring to the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, which is going to come soon in three stages, or refers to, as Rabbi Shmuel says, it refers to the entire history of the Aseres HaShvatim from Yeravim ben Nevat, and then dividing all of the other kings into two different groups. Now, let's continue where we left off. So, this was the first child. Okay, we just finished Pasuk Hey. Anything else that I marked down here to go over? Okay, let's just read over, look at the Malbim, just part of the Malbim, on page 11. On page 11, Pasuk Hey. Okay, this is not just review some of it, makes it, he has a different approach to what it means, the Keshes. But you really need to have some more background of Sefer Melachim on your back of your fingertips to really appreciate this. On the day of visitation, the day of reckoning, Vishavarti as Keshes Yisrael be'emek Yisrael. What is the Keshes? So we already learned two perushim. It means the power, the might, or it means, the Gross says it means power, but it means a minor, a lightweight form of power relative to what's coming. And he says here, Yesh Lufarish, the Balbum, Shakavana al Malchus Yehu. This refers to the Malchus of Yisrael. Malchus of Yehu is just one of the kings of Yisrael. Shetofas Oysa al Yedeh HaKeshes. How did Yehu come to be king? He came to be king with a bow. Shenitzach Be'emek Yisrael. Shom Mila Yehu Es Yodoy BaKeshes. He filled up his hand with a bow. Vayach es Yehoiram, he came to power through violence. He killed his predecessor. The Al Yidei Zeh Tofas es Hamolucha. So if you go back, we'll go to the end, just go back on page, we had this before on the back, just look at the sequence of events on page 915. If you look at on page 915, you see Yehu, and Yehu came to power by killing Yehoram. Okay, you see the two are right next to each other. Okay, Yehu killed Yehoram. On page 915, in the column of the Malchei Yisrael, in the year approximately 370, going back to 360, 350, Yehu comes after Yehoram. How did that happen? He wasn't his son. Yehu wasn't the son of Yehoram. He killed him. It was violence. Violence, and that's how he came to power. How did he kill him? With a bow and arrow. So Hashem says he will come to an end. Yehu will be punished for what he has done. And the way we describe his churban is through, I will break the keshes of Yisrael. Now notice, according to the Malbim, he's coming, he's saying, he's disagreeing with Rashi and the Mitzudos from last week. Because both Rashi and the Mitzudos taught us that this act is coming to take revenge, not for the death of Yehoram, but for the death of Achav. Right?
Does it say explicitly that he killed Yehoram by using a bow?
That's what he says over here, yeah. I'm just wondering.
How do we know that was his choice?
Oh, so look, so he goes for, he explains, he explains, look what he says, he explains what was in the Vuh from Eliyahu. Let's see. Yehu es Yehu b'keshes, v'yach es Yehoram, v'al yidei zeh tofas ha-melucha, he killed him, v'eshbar ha-Hashem, v'eshbar ha-koyach ha-kesh ha-zem, v'gam yesh lufar she'ichavin ha-la-keshes, another interpretation, which is really just similar to the two different sides of one coin, is, she'nosen Elisha li-yo-osh, Melech Yisrael, Leroy Spoichetzim, Elisha gave to Yoash, the king of Yisrael, to shoot arrows, Sheyechet Teshuah, Linatzeach Es Aram. Now it's symbolic. This is not referring to killing kings. This is referring to the milcham against Aram. There were battles against our enemies, and Elisha gave him arrows, symbolic arrows. These arrows that I'm giving you are symbolic that you will succeed in conquering Aram. The al yidei hakeshes hazeh nitzach Aram, through the success of conquering Aram through the power given to him through Elisha in these arrows, the hiskaber malchus, so his malchus rose to prominence. People had respect for the malchus of Yisrael, the king of Yoash. Ulechein mitzayin toikev beis Yehu. Therefore, we refer to the family of Yehu, even though we refer to him bakeshes hazeh with this keshes. Okay, so Yoash, look, Yoash came after Yoash's grandson. There's Yehu, there's Yehoiachos, Yehoiash, which is also known as Yoash. Take out the hey Yoash. He came. He was the grandson of Yehu. He was given arrows to be menatzeach over the power of Aram. And now, when Hashem says, "I'm going to bring an end to this family." And that really came with Yeravam. Yeravam is he was one that was killed. When he came to an end, the way we symbolize coming to their end is with the word keshes. Why? Because keshes has a lot of meaning and significance in the malchus of Yehu, of him, his son, his grandson, because they rose to prominence more than their predecessors because Elisha gave him the keshes. By him giving him the keshes, this bow, it was symbolic that you will prevail, you will succeed, you will ride to prominence. So people associated the keshes with the power of this family, the family of Yehu, going down to his children, grandchildren. And now when Hashem says that they will cease to exist, they will die, they will be killed, because they're over the Avodah Zarah, it's being referred to with the term, I will break the keshes of Yehu in Yisrael. Eshbar oso ayin hamishpat hamiyuchas la'imik Yisrael shesham kava lasos mishpat ba'oiv de'avodah zarah, in the location called Yisrael is where punishment will be meted out for the oiv de'avodah zarah. Okay, now one more thing I want to point out before we go further, and that is the word Yisrael. So we already had many pirushim. Yisrael is the name of the place, or Yisrael lashnav, it means zoreya, but it's also a term. It's very interesting. It's very similar to the word Yisrael. We have many names for the Jewish people, right? We have Yaakov, Yisrael, Yeshurun, and now here, now, no one ever says Yisrael. You never heard that before. That's not part of the list of names of the Jewish people. Similarly, because first of all, according to Lufi Pshutai, it's just a place. And according to the commentators that want to say it means something more significant, it refers to dispersal. It refers to Golos. So there's nothing good. There's nothing good about the name Yisrael that you would want to associate it with the Jewish people. Yet it's not so simple. Other commentators say the word Yisrael really is another positive term. It's a positive term to refer to Klal Yisrael. It's a lashon of endearment. And here Hashem is saying that unfortunately I'm going to have to bring an end to these people because they're not behaving. Where do I have that? I wrote it down over here. I marked it off. Just give me one second to show you where it says Yisrael. Oh, here it is. Okay, if you look in Rabbi Eliezer Mibozhan Si. Got it right? First time? First time, okay. Page 10, that's what we're learning right now. Be'emek Yisrael. It's around like, it's before it gets wide. It's 1, 2, 3 lines before it gets wide. Be'emek Yisrael. Besoch Eretz Yisrael. In the land of Jewish people. It's calling it the land of Yisrael. Eshbar Kashtam Biyadam. V'lo Ya'atzru Koyach. I will break their power. They will not be able to prevail. The Yisrael. Koire Yisrael. It's another name for the Jewish people. Why? Al Shem Hanar Shenitan Lohem Laos. Because of this Nevuah. And this Nevuah, there will be born to Hosea a child called Yisrael. It refers to like the Bnei Yisrael. Just like you have Yisrael, and we are called the Bnei Yisrael. Yisrael is just another way, a shorter form of Bnei Yisrael. You wrap up the word Bnei and the word Yisrael all in one word. Like the Zera of Yisrael. Isn't that amazing?
Zera,
exactly. That's how they pronounce Israel. But that's the pronunciation. That's how they express it. But doesn't necessarily the translation doesn't necessarily mean the seed of God, the seed of God, or the seed of Yisrael. Yehuda is called Immanuel. Al Shem Hanar. Immanuel, Shenitan Lohem Laos, because they were given this one of the prophecies in Yeshaya that we had a child, and the child, Yeshaya's child was called, one of his children was called Immanuel, is a reference to Klal Yisrael, because it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. He is with us. Immanuel, Shenitan Lohem Laos. Uchi'ilu Oimebi Eretz Ziri Asam. In the place, so he's saying a little bit, he was saying, I told you Zera Kel. He doesn't say that exactly. He says, Be'eretz delin ziri asam. I see. I told you, I made a mistake. I don't know, a mistake. Maybe someone else says it. The Zera Kel, or like the Zera, but it means the place where they have taken root. Where do the Jewish people take root? In Eretz Yisrael. Be'eretz ziri asam. Uvmokoy moiladatam. L'chein derech hamikra emik yahushafat. Okay, so he goes on to explain this in a little more detail. But just to point this out, it's an interesting thing to be aware of, that there are many names for Klal Yisrael, and here we have another name to add to our list, Yisrael. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, now we go to the third Shav. Atar Oy Vatin Labas, Vatayim Elo Kirosh Shema. This is the second Shav. So far we don't know the first Shav. The second Shav is going to be called Vatar Oy Vatin Labas, Vatayim Elo Hashem says to Hosea, Kirosh Shema, call this girl Lo Ruchama. Why? Kiloy Oisif Ol Arachim Esbeis Yisrael. I will no longer. We did this really last week, but we didn't do the Rambam and Mefarshim. I will no longer have Rachmanis upon the Jewish people. Ki Naso Esso Lohem. Okay. Now, last week we just on Friday we very briefly touched upon what this means. Let's see the Mitzvus again, very quickly. He learns. It's a very hard pasuk to translate. It means Kiloy in the Mitzvus pasuk Vav. Ki Naso Esso Lohem. Whatever the Mitsudo says these two words, it means you cannot translate the pasuk literally. It means until this point in time I forgave them. I was forgiving. Al ki rihamtim, I had compassion. Avol, but now may ata from here on in, loy oisif od l'rachem aleihem, I will no longer show them compassion. V'yishoer avoinam al atzmaisam, and their sin will remain upon their bones, upon their essence. So when you go back to the pasuk, you have to be very creative. Ki lo yosef od arachem espes Yisrael. I will no longer have compassion upon them. Ki noso esel lohem. You have to be very creative. In the past, I forgave them. This adhena noso esel lohem means until now I have forgiven them. But you have to add into the pasuk. You have to add in many, many words. But no more. No more. The only reason why I have forgiven them until now was because I have had rachmanis upon them until now. But being that now, loy ruchama, so you figure out on your own that the words ki noso eso will no longer apply. That was something of the past, but no longer will apply to the future. Why, according to the Mitzvos, the pasuk being written in such a cryptic manner? Obviously, this can go touch upon a minute, and I'll call you a moment. Hashem doesn't want to say it out. Hashem doesn't want to say such harsh words. We have a principle, a person should be ma'akim piv, not to be moitzi dover miguna mipiv. Habehema hatahoira, vahabehema asher einene tahoira. Hashem cannot bring himself to say, ki loy oisif od arachim espes Yisrael, ki loy esol lohem. I will no longer forgive them. Hashem cannot bring himself to say such words. I'm not going to forgive you. So what does Hashem say? Hashem says, in the past I forgave you. in the past. Ki no so es so lohem in the past. When I had Rachmanis, but no more. No more Rachmanis. So you figure out that I'm not going to forgive you. It's a delicate way of breaking the news to Klal Yisrael that you are in trouble. Rashi doesn't really, we didn't do this last week. Ki loy oisif od arachem. Now Rashi here says you have to change the letter from the Aleph to a Lamed, at least in translation, and it's very important. We'll explain what the significance of this means in a moment. But Rashi says, literally, if you would write this pasuk, you would not get an A on your paper. This is not correct grammar. Ki loy oisif od arachem. Arachim means I will show you compassion. The correct grammatical form of the pasuk should be ki loy oisif od lirachim. So Rashi says, indeed, you shall translate it as if there is a lamed instead of an aleph. The next words are, okay, we're going to come back to that in a moment, but let's finish the Rashi. Ki noso es so lohem, achalek lohem minos koisam. Rashi upu losam, the portion of their cup. Koisam means their kois, kois hatarela. Okay, it means the cup of retribution. This is an expression, what you deserve. The portion of what you are would deserve to drink. It's an expression which means you're going to get what you deserve. Upi ulasam, you'll receive measure for measure your punishment for your evil deeds. Kamo, where do we find such an expression? Vayisam masos, we had that 2 weeks ago. That they carried presents. Masos means burdens. Masos, the word masam means to carry away a bundle, a portion. A portion of food. He provided with them portions, and Binyamin Yosef gave 5 portions, a portion. So, minos chel koisam means the portion that you deserve. Ki noso es solohem. Here, according to Rashi, the pasuk is being very explicit. It's very frightening. Hashem says, I'm going to give you what you deserve. I will give you your masa, your burden, your portion. That's how Rashi learns. Obviously, very different than the Mitzudo Stavit. Hashem is warning us, you're going to get what you deserve. Now, why then did the Pasuk over here say the word kilo, kilo osif od arachim with an aleph? Why, according to the Mitzudos, in this interpretation, does the Pasuk say kino so es selohem in the past tense? About the past. In the past. And therefore, in the future, it's going to be different. So to this, we come to the rescue of here on the bottom, Gemara Masechta Pesachim, a very important chazal, on the very, very bottom of this page, on page 12, the very bottom, Pasuk Vav, look what it says there, Ki lo'oisev od arachim espes Yisrael, Omer Rabbi Elazar, afilu b'shas, kasa shokal eshbaruchu, zoicha es arachamim, even Hashem is angry at us, He has rachmanis upon us. Shenemar, ki lo'oisev od arachim espes Yisrael. What does that mean? Where do you see Rachmanis in that pasuk? What is the Gemara saying? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't say. It says, I'm not going to have Rachmanis upon you. So what does the Gemara mean? Very simple. It means that the Aleph doesn't belong there. The pasuk should really go say, Ki lo yosif od lirachem. What's the Aleph? It's if Hashem is saying, Ki lo yosif od. Hashem in his mind is thinking, I'm going to say, this thing in his mind, I'm not going to have lirachem. How can I do that? Chas v'shalom. Adarabba, Arachim. I will have Rachmanis Espes Yisrael. So the Aleph is to be viewed as an independent statement. Hashem is giving us Musar. Hashem is saying, you good for nothing, I'm going to punish you, I'm not going to have Rachmanis upon you. And when you take the Pasuk in this entire form, and that's exactly what the Pasuk is saying. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he alludes to us that he will have Rachmanis upon us by making a grammar mistake, by changing the lamed to an aleph, so that we should read the words arachim espes Yisrael. I will. Aleph turns into the future. I will have rachmanis upon the Jewish people. That's the first.
What? In other words, I won't now, but I will in the future.
Right. It's up to the imagination to how to fit that in. But the change of the lamed to the aleph is really what the Gemara Mitzvah means. And then we have another interpretation, same along lines. Rabbi Yosef Bechanino, Amar Mihacha, the end of the pasuk. Ki naso es solohem. So what does that mean? So the word was naso, which Rashi and the Mitzvah struggled. What does this mean over here? So it means I forgave them in the past, but not in the future. And Rashi says it means, I'll give them minos chelkam, masos. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Come on. The word kinaso, read the words simply. Just translate the words literally. The word kinaso es solohem is a term that is used throughout Tanakh. I will forgive you. I indeed will forgive you for your sins. But that doesn't make sense in the context of this pasuk. Because in this pasuk, Hashem is saying, Loi ruchama, I'm not going to forgive you. That's right. The way Hashem told us He's not going to forgive us is with a language which normally means, I will forgive you, in order to awaken us. That's right, you're going to have to struggle here to make sense out of the Pshuta Shel Mikra, but you should be aware, I did it on purpose, so you should recognize that I will forgive you. Read it literally. Kinaso es solohem. The day will come when I will forgive the Jewish people. Okay, so these are two beautiful Mamori Chazal here, Pesachim, to explain the Pshat, the beauty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He always has Rachmanis. In the greatest darkness, in the greatest Hester Panim, Hashem is to be found. Okay, we're living in a great time of Hester Panim. There was an incredible tragedy yesterday. I can't get over it. A family, an entire family, a Jewish family, Scarsdale,
yes,
was killed in a plane crash. It's a whole family. You know what that is?
Yes.
A whole family? Mm-hmm. Five people? Parents and their children? It's a real, real wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Okay, these are people, they were part of a Reform temple. But who cares? Jew is a Jew. Okay? Who cares? Who says they're Yichus? Who knows where they come? Who knows who they are? I forget the Yichus. You can't judge anyone, but they know Achim Ibnei Yisrael. I mean, it's unbelievable. You have this tragedy with the fire, and you have a whole... Today is unbelievable. Today, I wouldn't be here if not for the shul. I would go there. Today they're having the Bet Yosef, right? In the shul, there's a big, big shul, Sfarash shul. Non-stop marathon shiurim starting probably before 9 o'clock all the way until like 5 o'clock. After the shiur is over, we can go there. They have the whole day marathon shiurim for Hespedim, Divrei Chizuk from Ashkenazim and mostly Sephardic Rabbanim regarding the terrible tragedy that happened of the Azan family. Last night, I'm dying. I want to hear the at a lineup for women only.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could have listened online. Yeah. You heard anyone here? Anyone listen to it?
My wife was watching it.
So what'd she say?
She
it was very moving. Yeah. Yeah, it was very moving. Okay. Well, the people who spoke, all the people who had terrible tragedies, Sassoon and this fellow, the grandmother of the children that were killed, the mother of Yossi Azan, and they had from Mumbai, and they had even Gila Gazon and Rabashkin, Leah Rabashkin, the wife of Sholem Rabashkin. Who else do they have? I mean, Rebbetzin Azari.
Yemina.
What's her last name? Oh, she was there. That was just part of it. I don't remember. Okay, it's Kedai. It's Kedai to listen. You get a chance. I'm sure on Torah anytime. I'm sure it's all there. I know. I work with them. I was texting them while it was going on. I was talking to them, so they have it all up there on their website for free, Torah anytime. You probably can't get in because you're a man, and they only show lectures for women if you're a woman. You have to have a woman profile. I fought with them about this. I fought against this, but I lost the battle. So you just register as a woman. You register as a woman, you have access to all of the lectures from the women.
They ban anybody that says Shaloya Sana'isha.
What?
They ban anybody that says Shaloya
Sana'isha. This is what the Rabbanim told them to do. Okay, you can register as a woman, and you can listen to all of the... No, the women have access to everything. The women have access, and the men only have access to the men. But the women have access. But you should know the truth is, if I'm not mistaken, the men also, I'm sorry, I misspoke. The men have access to the audio. That was the pshara. The men have access to the audio of the women. But the video, you have to be registered as a woman to have access to the video. Okay, let's go further. So this is the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imoy Anoichi Bitzara. Pasuk. Before we go further, let us take a look here. Okay, let's go already. Let me just see if anyone here marked off. No, let's already move ahead. Let's go move further. Pasuk, a few more minutes. Pasuk Zayin. The Esbeis Yehuda Rachin. Now here we come to some very interesting stuff. V'yazbeis Yehuda arachem v'hoishatim b'Hashem Elokeihem. And in contrast to the Malchus of Yisrael, which I will not show compassion, I will show compassion to the Malchus of Yehuda. I will save them by Hashem Elokeihem. I will save them through Hashem their God. I will not save them b'keshes uv'cheref uv'milchama b'susim uv'foroshim. Unbelievable. Hashem says, don't think you're going to survive. This pasuk is a very powerful pasuk because this is a very big, especially for us living in these times, it's a very, very hard balance to live in the world of Teva and to be part of the Jewish people and take pride in being part of Eretz Yisrael, which has one of them, has, if not the most powerful military in the world. Some will argue it's even more powerful than the United States. And yet, say, Shema Yisrael. You say that Hashem is the one, it's Hashem who's the one who is, Ein lanu lihishohin ela alavinu sheba shamayim. It's a very tough balance. You have the Iron Dome. Nowhere in the world do they have the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome was made in Israel. Okay, it was made in Israel. By Israel, what? Now they sold it. Now they sold it to the whole world. But until, and I mean the first, Eretz Yisrael, that's where it was developed. And it's unbelievable. Okay, they outdid America. The Arrow missiles, they were not able to do what the Israeli technology was able to do. Who paid for it? That's another story. But they have their tanks. Israel's tanks are one of a kind. Okay, their tanks are sold all over the world. There's no one that makes a tank like the Israelis. And now they just got their squadron. They're getting their squadron of F-35s, the most sophisticated piece of machinery on the world. Can't even begin to imagine what?
Once they made their modifications.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say. Right? They take it and they make their own modifications to it. They make their own modifications to the F-35s. They combine their technology with the American technology. So everyone is very proud, very secure, you know, you're very secure. Koichi v'oitzem yadi osali asachayel hazeh. But mitzad sheni, that's keneged kol harakula. Keneged kol harakula, ein lanu lihishoin ela alavinu sheba shemayim. But hanach haneg bohem min hagderech eretz. You got to do your hishtalos. We're living, we're surrounded by vicious enemies. How do you draw the balance? That is the nesoyin of life. The nesoyin of life is to draw that balance, is to do your shtalus, be the best of the best, and yet be makir. I mean, who wouldn't go to the best doctor in the world? Achman Lutz, a person is a doctor. You got to be a fool not to go to the best of the best. But yet, rifo'einu Hashem v'nei rafei. It's a very, very big challenge. And here, this pasuk, in a way like no other pasuk, really brings it out. It really, this pasuk is one of a kind. The Esbeis Yehuda Arachem, this referring to the Sancheriv, when he finished with the Malchus of Yehuda and wiping out the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, who did he come for? He came for the Malchus of Yehuda. He came to conquer Yerushalayim. That was the only thing that was left. The whole Eretz Yisrael was condensed into a little teeny city, Yerushalayim. That was it. And who was the king? Chizkiyahu. And there was a siege. There was a siege, and Sancheriv arrived with an army that it's not even clear how many people were there, at least 800,000 people, an army of 800,000 people, and some say it was 800,000 generals. I mean, the general had under him who knows how many, which makes the numbers some astronomical amount of soldiers that could be ready to devour Yerushalayim. When did they arrive? Leil Pesach. And what happened? The miracle, they all suddenly died. They died, Nes Nigla, they all died, and only a handful were left over who ran away. Well, the whole story is presented in a lot of detail in Sefer Yeshaya and in Sefer Melachim. And in Sefer also, I think we lost some in Yirmiyah, it says some of the details. No, can't be impossible. Can't be. In Sefer Melachim, we have the stories presented in Yeshaya and Melachim. So what does it say over here? The only reason why they're going to survive is because of the zuchus of really Chazal say it was the zuchus of Torah. Chizkiyahu, he was not, that was Yoshiyahu, but Chizkiyahu also. I'm forgetting my Navi, I don't remember anymore. But here it says, at least on a very simple level, he has based Yehuda Arachim, V'hoishatim, I will save them. In, through whom? B'Hashem Elokeihem. V'loy oishiyem b'keshes. All of your weapons, all of the best weapons will not do anything for you. V'loy b'keshes v'v'cheret v'v'muchama b'susim v'v'froshim. It's not going to make any difference. Let's see Pasuk Zayin v'mitzvot Ostavit. Pasuk says, V'yazbeis Yehuda Arachem, Kosav Moreinu Harav, Rebbe Moshe Al-Sheikh, I'm reading the wrong parish, I'm sorry, Mitzudos, the Mitzudos, Pasik, on page 12, Arachem, Ki Adayin Lo Nismalo Sosom. So here he says something very shocking, very, very shocking. The only reason why this is the topic of the commentators, especially the Mincha Gedoyla that I began to read for you by mistake, we're going to read some of that a little bit later on. Why were the people of Yehuda any better than the people of Yisrael? Why, when there was a Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, so why wasn't Sancheirif successful also in exiling at the same time Yehuda, the Malchus of Yehuda and Yerushalayim? They were also Oivdei Avodah Zarah, more often than not. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but they were also over the Zara. So why not? So the answer, and when did they go into Golus? 200 years later, by a different nation, not by Sancheirif, but by Nebuchadnezzar. So what took so long? Why were they spared for 200 years? So the answer was, Ki adayin lo nismalo sosom. Their measure was not yet full. They were sinners, but not to the same degree. Not to the same degree, and therefore Hashem does not punish until the measure is full. That's not so simple, because we have other Mamari Chazal that tell us that L'Shvarach Hu punishes little by little in order that the measure should never get so full. Obviously, it depends. Sometimes Hashem waits until there's an accumulation of sin to a degree when Hashem punishes and brings a golus, brings a korban. So it's teaching us over here the reason why Hashem is showing Rachmanis upon Yerushalayim is not because you're tzaddikim. Don't make any mistake and think, oh, Hashem loves the people of Yerushalayim and that's why they're not going into Golus. You're also Rishon. It's just that your Rishus is not as bad as the wickedness of the people of Yisroel.
And their leadership wasn't always as
right, not nearly as bad, but I mean, depends. Manasseh, Amon.
At least they had some.
Ochos, right, they had some, who kept them going. Right, kept them. Therefore, it's Loi Nismales Sosom. Don't make that mistake and think that you're tzaddikim. You're not really any better than them. It's just that your time has not yet come. Lo nismal l'sasam b'Hashem lokeichem hateshua tiyeh be'ezer Hashem v'loy b'chlei mulchama. It will be through having faith in Hashem, not through weapons. Vayoyimar and vayoyimar ma'pele sancheiriv al shlohoya al yidei mulchama ki Hashem hiko bochem al yidei hamalach. This is the story of the miracle of the defeat of Sancheiriv's army, which took place Leil Pesach, which we mentioned in the Piyutim at the end of the Seder. It was a miraculous event. They all just died that night, the night of Leil Pesach. Rashi, Pasik Zayin, V'yazbeis Yehuda Rachem, L'achar she'ashpis es mamluchus beis Yisrael, I will have Rachmanis upon them, after I bring an end to the Malchus of Yisrael, Shemishagolu Aseres Hashvatim Hayu Beis Yehuda Bichlal Harachamim, they Hashem had Rachmanis from when? Michizkiyahu Ad Tzidkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was the king during this period of time, and the king that went into Galus, the Churban, 200 years later was Tzidkiyahu. So during this period of time, Hashem indeed had Rachmanis. Rashi is silent. Rashi is not coming to insult the people of Yehuda by telling them that you're not tzaddikim, it's just as low in the smallest or some. Rashi just says, he's quiet. No need to insult the people of Yerushalayim. There were three, but it means the end, the Gemara. There were three exiles. There was Yehoyakim, the goddess of Yehoyachin, and the goddess of Tzidkiyahu. There were three exiles that led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Three separate exiles. And just like there were three exiles in the time of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim, so he was just referring to the Gemara, the very, very end when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed and then everyone left was the time of Tzidkiyahu. Okay, now let's see over here what it says in the Malbum. Malbum is... No, that's the next passage. I'm sorry, am I referring to the correct thing? Let's look at the Gra. The Gra is amazing. Gra is really, what it says over here, is very, very frightening. Pasuk Zayin on page 13. If loyal Shem bekeshes v'chayim v'vulchama v'sunu v'vrashim. Choshav kan arboha minim. Over here it says it's a mamish, a typical grah. What? Pasuk Zayin. Yeah, we did Pasuk Zayin. Yeah, we just said Pasuk Zayin. Grah. I just yeah. Okay, so over here the grah pasuk says, why does it say over here four? This is like really classic grah numbers. Match of four against four. It says four different types of weapons. Keshes, chedef, muhamma, susim, ufrashim. So it says over here, koshav kan arba minim, kenegin arba machanai. So what are the four? The word of the four meaning is the keshes, the chedef, and then I guess the sus and the ufrashim. It doesn't refer to muhamma. It doesn't seem that it refers to what?
Muhamma, the sus.
I guess he includes Mulcham is just a generalization of the Susim and the Parashim, I'm assuming. I don't know. But he says over there four, Koshav Kan Arba, Minim Kneged Arba Machanois, Shal Sand, because you go four Machanois. Sancheiriv came, it says here in the Pasuk, four Machanois. Each Machanois corresponds to one of these things. Bekeshes, Hainu Neged, Shemoin, if you have to go back and study the Pesukim in Sefer Yeshai and Sefer Malachim, the Keshes is Kneged, the Shemoinim Elif Gibarim. 80,000 Gibarim Luvushe Shiryoin, who wore armor.
The word Keshet is Gematria 8.
Keshes is Gematria 8?
Yeah.
How is it 8? Kuf is 100.
Kuf is 301 and 1.
800.
800. Okay.
Keshet is
8. Aha, okay, very
so
good. Kesh, very good, very good. Keshes haynu shmoinim elef 80,000 gibarim levushe shiryoin v'hu milumdei milchama b'keshes. They were experts in
the archers.
B'cheref, okay, you have to go on YouTube to learn about the art of archery. It's amazing. See how they fought battles in ancient times. The chachma of archery was mind-boggling. How they had the precision. I mean, it's amazing. Today, they don't think they have come anywhere near close. Have the skill of what they used to do in those days with bow and arrow. The cherev neged shishim elef shalufi cherev says in the pasuk there were 60,000 people who used to draw the sword. With Muhammad, he's counting this one of the minim neged mem hey elef 45,000 b'nei malachim yoshvei kiranois that sat in wagons. These were mercenaries. The hoim hamesadrim seder Muhammad. Besusim uvifarashim, he counts as one. See, that's what he counts as one. He puts these two together. Susim uvifarashim is one. Hainu neged shar kol machaneh likud. Now he adds only to the grow. The one who wrote this is adding the same. Who neged arba balei melchamos? The former melchamos shal sancherev shemoinim elef gibaydim levush esuryon who melumdei melchamos shishim elef shluf echerev who cherev besusim arba v'chamishim elef bnei melchamos shosh ekranos v'ashar parashim who parashim shar bal melchamos. A different order, different arrangement. Same idea. Okay. He does a different arrangement for this order. Now, before we go further, I want to take just a quick look over here at the Mincha Gedoyla. Okay, the Mincha, turn to page 15. On page 15, let's just read it from the beginning. We'll run through it very quickly because I'm not really sure I'm going to say it correctly. So let's run through it from the beginning. He's asking the same exact question. I'm sorry. Go back to page 13. 13 on the bottom. 13 on the bottom. Mincha Gedoyla, Pasuk Zayin Tes. He's asking the question, why is Hashem showing Rachamim to Yehuda and exiling Yisrael? So the Mitsudos, Rashi was silent. The Mitsudos said, their time has not yet come. Kosav Mayrenu Harav Rebbe Moshe Alshech Zatzal Zal. Okay, the Alshech was from the biggest Darshanim of the generation, if not of history.
It was the Darshanim,
the Ari Shul. By the Mukubalim. They're not typically into Drush, but the Alshech, he was one of a kind. The Alshech Biyois Shahoya Mokim Laharu Chalila. He's coming to address this question. The Loimar, it's not fair. Zelo fair. Why me, not you? Who knows Seifanim Lubne Yehuda? Veherich Lohem, Im Heyos Ki Gambi Yehuda Hoysa Sha'arura. There was, I don't know what that word means exactly, but it means evil, Lashon Ra. There was corruption. Okay, there was corruption. There was some no good things going on over there. Chmo Shamir Azal. Shahayu Yisrael Oimim Kishagalu Shahayu Hu Yisbrach No Seifanim Lubne Speso. They said, it's not fair. When the Aseres HaShvatim be taken away, they said, why us and not the people, our neighbors in Yehuda? And in fact, that's one of the kinois on Tisha B'Av a conversation between Ahalah and Ahalivah. Each one is complaining. Each one they have a conversation. Who got a worse deal? They have a conversation. And who you spell Nosei Panim Luvnei Beis? So V'gam She'amru Shekasher Shamu. When they heard Inyan Churim Abayis V'Golus Yehuda Hitztiku Es Hadin. We learned this. I don't know, some point in time, a while ago. Is this was a sin that when the Aseres Hashvatim heard 200 years later that the Churban happened, that Yehuda was conquered and they exiled, they celebrated. They celebrated. Isn't that scary to celebrate over your own brother's downfall? Terrible. Im kol ze lo yibotzer. It doesn't matter. Shahayim makim lahar al kedimas azman. They can complain. Im kol ze lo yibotzer. We cannot deny the fact. Shahayim makim lahar al kedimas azman. After everything is said and done, there's the complaint. There is a question over here that we have to deal with. Why over here was there a delay of 200 years between the Golos of Yehuda and the Golos of Yisrael? Between the Golos of Yehuda, Yisrael and Yehuda. The od ki yiru ki achar melois lebavol shivushani yosh shev yisparach as shivus Yehuda v'lo yashivus Yisrael. Another complaint. Why is that Hashem returned the exiles of Yehuda and the exiles of the Aseres Hashvatim? What happened to them? They never came back. Will they ever come back? Everyone is complaining. We're complaining now. Everyone is complaining.
Who's complaining?
Well, certainly Yisrael is complaining. The Aseres Hashvatim is complaining. They're for sure complaining. Why did they go into exile 200 years before? And why? What?
They complained right away. Why are we going?
And they complained at the Geula. When the Geula came, after 70 years, who went back? Who was given permission? Koresh gave permission, even assisted. He paid. He gave money. He assisted. He issued visas. And he put them on planes to go back to Eretz Yisrael, whoever wanted. And he sent money. He sent money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. To who? To his people. Who is his people? The people living in Bavel. Koresh, he took over the Golos of the Nebuchadnezzar. The Nebuchadnezzar fell, Parasumadai. The Jews of Yehuda and Binyamin were under his jurisdiction. But the Jews of the Aseres Hashvatim were not. They were all over the world. They were dispersed. They were not given, it was not convenient for them to come back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, he's asking that question over here. Achar Malos Lubavu Shem Shana, Yoshev Yisparach, Hashem returned, Eshavus Yehuda, V'lo Yeshavus Yisrael. So therefore, Yachaziku B'mamaron, Ki'al HaYosem B'nei Beiso, Noslechem Panim, L'chli L'vachas. So what are you going to say? It's because since they were living in Yerushalayim, Hashem shows favoritism to people who live in Yerushalayim. That's not proper. So that's exactly the next post coming to address according to the Mincha Gedoyla. This that I showed favoritism, it seems I showed favoritism. Will I show them favoritism? Will I? I'm reading very quickly here. Loi barichas azman lahagolosam v'lo b'mash achag golosam mashim b'yisrael mash ein kein liyisrael v'zeu shomar v'yisbis yudah rachim shulaharich lohem v'loi od ki im shach akach v'yashatim b'sheni mash ein kein liyis yisrael shloi yoshim yoshia. I'm jumping down over here. Let's go down all the way down further down. I want to get to the point I want to make over here. Is ki hinei lo? Look where it says over here in the bold. Jump down like few lines. The answer is, I really skipped a very important line. If you go where it says Kim Hashem Elokeichem, or go back even where it says, I know I'm sorry, I'm going in circles here. The Al Toimu Kimaso Panim Hu. Okay, it's like really almost in the middle, a few lines down from the middle of this column. In the Mincha Gedoyla, right before the line that says Ba'ashem Elokeihem in bold, the end of that line, you go up one line. Go up one line. And here he really says it all out. He says, basically, they deserve to be redeemed. They deserved it. You know why they deserved it? Because they had faith in me. Unlike you, Yisrael, that did not have faith. You put your faith in the Keshes, the Chedev, and all of these things. The Al Toimu ki ma'asofanim hu, shani nosi livnei heicholi, ki lo rak, ki lo reku, I don't know what that means. It's not empty. Ki im ba'ashem elokehem. Ki yesh biyuhuda tzadikim. Ru'uyim lechanois elokuhuso yisparach aleihem kanoda. There are people in the malchus of Yehuda that are deserving that Hashem should put his name upon them. Ki gam bisman ha'churban nimsu biyuhuda. Even during the time of the churban, they were tzadikim. Chagai, Zechariah, u'malachi, v'yirmiya, v'yecheskel, u'varach ben neriya, v'hachorosh, v'hamasker elef, v'anshei kines ha'gadayla, v'horo'oya ki tzidkasam hoshiyam, it was their righteousness which saved them, ki inei lo oshiyem b'keshes, u'v'cherev, u'v'mulchamu, b'susim, u'v'mufrashim, kolom, ki im b'shuvo u'sefilo v'sachanunim, kasho hoya al yidei, Mordechai v'Yester ki misham naslo b'ayishem v'im yom yitzol ki al ma shalom yichem aleim la'arich lachem ki im yer la'ashlicham el eretz acheres hoya ki lo hoya b'chem tzadikim mishkashem kashem Yehuda ach achar shekiblu oyin shem hoya lo yisprach l'hoshem v'eshivusem lo yishiyom kashem asol l'hidu b'ayisheni l'zeh amar no that's the next pasuk v'atik b'les ruchama shu remez al asher hesira miyos yonkim v'shefa me'ashchino b'eretz Yisrael, okay, let's leave that for another time. But the basic idea is there is no masay panim. They deserved it. Why did they deserve it? It's because they had faith in Hashem. And he's reading all of this into the pasuk. If you go back to the pasuk, Vav, space Yisrael. Then the pasuk is saying, "Kino so es Elohim." Is it fair that Hashem should show Yehuda favoritism? Should I forgive them? The Esbeis Yehuda, and he goes on to explain the next pasuk. The Esbeis Yehuda Rachem, the Yoshatim Hashem Elokeim, v'lo Yoshiyim Bekesh. The answer is yes. That's because v'lo Yoshiyim Bekeshes u'v'cherev u'v'mulchama v'suzim v'chavrashim is because indeed they did have. Faith in Hashem, and that's why I saved them. They did tshuva, unlike the people of Yehuda that did not do tshuva. So basically, I know I'm not being too clear, but basically, the idea over here is this is a very big question. It's a major, major question. Why them and not the people of Yehuda? The Mitzudos alludes to it. Rashi ignores it. The Mincha Gedolah addresses it head on. He even Kamat reads this into the pasuk, and he says the answer is because the people of Yehuda had faith in Hashem. Simple as that. And Hashem is saying, Edus, the people of Yehuda had faith in Hashem, they were tzaddikim, it's true, they were Rishoyim. And that's why there was Golos. But you cannot deny the fact that there was a significant number of tzaddikim, and he lists you the names of the people who were leaders and influenced the people to do tshuva. And that's why it is they who remained in their city, Yerushalayim, for another 200 years. And then when they went into Golos, they were able to return to Eretz Yisrael, unlike the people of Yehuda, who unfortunately were not strong enough in their faith in order to do this, the tshuva that was necessary to bring about their restoration in a timely way. All right, so we'll stop with that tomorrow. We're going to start with Pasuk Ches.